part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
This episode of Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Newark Auto Body. With winter weather and slick road conditions comes black ice and accidents. And if you've been in an accident and your car needs a little TLC, look no further than Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body. Safe, reliable collision repairs is their business. Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body is a local, family-run, and veteran-owned business serving Newark, Zanesville, and surrounding areas. And guess what? They work with all insurance providers to make your experience hassle-free. And if you're a U.S. military veteran, even better. Ask about their special discounts for vets at the shop, and they'll be happy to help. Look, it can be hard to find a trustworthy car mechanic, but the people over at Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body have you covered. They do. They care for you first and make sure they keep you safe and get you back on the road as quickly as possible. Visit them at autobodyofnewark.com and autobodyofzanesville.com to get your repair started today. You can find those links in our show notes. Their iCar Gold Class team of skilled collision repair technicians will make your vehicle like new again. Again, that's Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body, partnering with Press Play Podcasts.
Your long wait for a new podcast is over. I'm Steve Phillips, and I'm super excited to announce that I will be doing a brand new podcast, Exit Polls. I'll be part of the Press Play Podcast Network. A little bit about myself. I'm a proud native of Cleveland Heights, Ohio. I have the same roots as Super Bowl champions Jason and Travis Kelce, although I do not know and have never met Taylor Swift. I'm an author, activist, observer of politics, and I've written two best-selling books, Brown is the New White and How We Win the Civil War, that helped to dissect and analyze what's happening in our nation's politics. I bonded with Chase Smith of the Press Play Podcast Network over our shared outrage over the Cleveland Browns selling their soul to sign a certain quarterback. As we got to know each other the past couple years, Chase asked me to consider hosting Exit Polls. And I'm happy to do it and happy to be here. As the political season heats up, we'll be coming to you every other Friday to make sense of and perhaps make fun of what's going on in national politics. Offer some information, education, a little fun. May even throw in a few sports metaphors to grasp what's happening in national politics. We start on April 12th. You find us wherever you get your podcast. Tune in and join us on Exit Polls.
What's good, Breakers? That sound means it's time for Cavs on the Break NBA podcast from the Press Play Podcast Network, Playoff Press Edition. I am your host, Chase Smith. I am not feeling well. Please bear with us. With me, he's the NBA writer for HoopsWire.com. He's our Cavs insider, national NBA writer, Sam Amico. Sam, what's up, man?
Are you not feeling well because of the result of game three in Orlando by chance?
No, that's not why I'm not feeling well. Although, maybe definitely not feeling great right now. Also joining us, Sports at Fox 8. He's host of Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast right here in our Play Play Podcast Network. Live from John Sable's basement. Sam is there. John is there. I am not. John Sable, you guys partying without me, man. What's good?
Chase, you picked a bad day to get sick, and Sam and I, good day to hang out, except for the outcome was absolutely garbage.
Yes. I don't know which one of you tweeted or posted this first. The largest Cavs loss in playoff history.
Sam, how about you take that one? Who found that?
John Sable found that. I think we started looking it up in the third quarter. That's how bad it was.
It was like right after halftime. Right? Yeah. Third quarter had just started, and we went down, and I found it, and we started tweeting it, and Sam got out there first. But yeah, Chase, it was a when you go back and you look at some of those bad losses, I mean, the team's had some really bad regular season losses in their 53-year history, but there haven't been very many bad playoff losses. This is the worst of all time, and the two other ones were in 2008 against the Wizards and 2018 against the Pacers. I think the Warriors were in there one of those finals years as well. So, I mean, hey, the Cavs aren't, I don't think they're toast in terms of the series, but the Magic had to have everything click in their way after playing really poorly in Cleveland. And yeah. Then the Cavs, who really didn't play that all that well in shooting at the end of game two, did right. not shoot at all today. If, you know, they what, the first 2 minutes they were okay, and then ever since then, Sam, the wheels yeah. fell off.
Yeah. Yes. So the Cavs just lost game three in Orlando after taking the first two games of this round one playoff series for at home. Before we get to those games, this is the ideal first round matchup for the Cavs. I know that's been talked about ad nauseum, but just to give it a little bit of space here on this podcast before we get into game one and two and game three and look ahead to the rest of the series. I mean, this is the ideal matchup that the Cavs wanted, Sam. This is it. This is the team that they wanted to play. This, in my opinion, gives us the best chance to get to round two.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, to me, the Orlando Magic really are, you know, and not to discredit them, but when you talk about inexperience, really probably the easiest opponent in the first round for either conference. And it's just because of their youth. And it's a highly favorable matchup for the Cavs when you're talking yes. about a seven-game series. We saw what they did the first two games at home. But clearly, you know, whether it was the Cavs taking them lightly, which probably played a role in tonight, you know, the Cavs came out for the most part flat. And once the wheels came off, they really came off because Orlando took their first lead of the series at what, 16-14 was it, John?
Yep.
It was their first lead in the series.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from that moment on, Orlando, once they got up like 10 or something, I thought the Cavs would make a little run, but the Cavs just kept getting worse.
They kept getting worse, Sam. And then they also just, they quit. They flat out quit.
They had to have. There's no way you lose by that much if you're not.
I'm not worried at all. They put Tristan and Marcus Morris in with 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Like, it was over before halftime. This, we talked about it before we record. This was a scheduled loss. I'm the least bit concerned. I still think Cavs in five. I really do. John, have you found yourself looking ahead to round two at all?
You know, I had the Cavs in six before the series, and after game two, I still thought, well, you know what? It could go six. Could it really go five? And I don't know. It's funny. I still think they win this series. I do think it could. I guess it can go either way. I could see them winning in Cleveland and then losing again in game five and coming back in Cleveland and winning in six. But looking ahead, yes. I think it's our natural, you know, our natural thing to kind of look forward a little bit to the Boston series. But I think there were some really bad habits that the Cavs had in those first two games that may have gotten overlooked that kind of reared its really ugly head at the worst time. And that's with some of the turnovers and some of the shot selection and having no rhythm and kind of not playing their defense and getting lazy at times. I can't help but think, and I don't know if you guys agree with this, but the end of game two, when they kind of let Orlando back in,
yeah,
seemed to me it gave Orlando a little bit of momentum that they carried over at home.
Yeah,
and they found something there maybe, and that's what maybe worked today.
Well,
but I don't know, or maybe they just fed off the home crowd and reset everything.
So
but it was definitely a scheduled loss. I told Sam before the game that they were going to lose.
Yeah, no, I think there's something to that, John. I think at the end of the second game, the Cavs took the foot off the gas. They took Mitchell out. They did some things, whether to save legs or to avoid a stupid injury. And during that time, the Magic was tinkering with lineups, trying to find some lineup of like defensive intensity and just, you know, to get some momentum. And they found something. They didn't make a run, and it kind of, Cavs didn't try to stop the run. They just were trying to run the clock out in the second game. Sam, I don't know if I agree with you about some bad habits. Here's what I've noticed in this series. The Cavs have played incredible defense. Yeah, Orlando hasn't made shots, but they've played incredible defense and they've controlled the boards. And game three, they did not control the boards. This is the first home game in Orlando since 2019. And so there was already a lot of excitement in the building. I think Bankera had like six offensive rebounds in the first quarter. And so, you know,
bad habits, maybe, but I don't think that this is a, I'm not concerned. I think they saw like, oh yeah, we're going to lose this game. We'll get it on Thursday and finish the series. Or we'll get the game on Saturday and then we'll finish the series in Cleveland. Sam, I don't know. Are you concerned, Sam?
No, I'm with you. I think this game really caught me, and I'm sure Cavs fans everywhere and probably even the Orlando Magic off guard. I don't think anybody was expecting this. I'll be more concerned, you know, and I wouldn't even say concerned, but I think they need to win game four. I really do. It's not a must win, obviously, when you have a 2-1 series lead and the home court advantage, but I think you need to put these guys away because and respond here. Good teams respond to games like this. And I have a feeling they will. You know, I think that this is something that may motivate them and push them. Now, you know, that's a prediction. But as far as concern, no. I wouldn't be concerned if they lost game four, but I would think this should not be happening. They should be putting this team away in five games. I said before the series, anything more than five games would be a disappointment. So to me, they need to win game four, come out and respond to this, show them that they've put it in the past. Other than the only thing you want to remember from this game is just take forward the motivation of such a terrible loss and Paolo Banchero doing the too small sign to Donovan Mitchell when he hit a shot over him. I mean, those are things that should be burning in your memory as opposed to, you know, coming out and playing poorly in game four. They really, and guys, I'm sure we'll get into this, but I miss Darius Garland. What's happened to him? He's got to be better. He's got to be better. Five points, you know, just looking so out of sorts. Even in games one and two, he hasn't looked that great. But tonight, everybody was bad. Sam, but he was probably the worst.
Have you listened to the pod any of the last 4 months? you said you miss him. Like, what do you miss? This is what. I don't know.
No, what I'm saying is, obviously, he's had a terrible year. He's had injury issues, all that. But now is the time where he needs to put all that behind him. And he was able to do that previously. And he's just not looked good at all.
I'm not concerned at all. I'm with Sam. And Chase, I know you are too. Like, you got to look at game four, right? That's going to be the deciding factor. You lose game four, then we can hit that panic button, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not a big plus or minus guy when it comes to stats. I think it's very misleading. It's a hockey stat and people like it in basketball. I don't think it's very accurate. So I'm not trying to be a hypocrite here. But when you look at the box score, there was not one Cavalier that was in positive plus minus.
Yeah.
Except one, and that was Damian Jones. And he played all of, 7 minutes, and he was zero? So that's how bad it was. And, you know, the thing about this, the Cavs got out-rebounded immensely by an Orlando team that may be a little bigger but less physical, less talented on the bigs that Jared Allen and Evan Mobley have just dominated in the first two games of the series.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got out-rebounded tonight in horrible fashion, 51-32. And Jared Allen and Evan Mobley were double-digit rebounding guys in the first two games. And tonight, they combined for 10. And rebound.
I think they deserve more. If we're going to be dissecting this game, which I think it's a waste of time. If we're going to be like pointing blame at this game, everyone missed shots, but like, where were Mobley and Allen this game? Like,
I'll do you guys but one better.
Do it.
You say Mobley and Allen. Sam, you say Darius Garland.
Oh, lay on us, Sable.
I'm about to say, you and I talked about watching the game. When is Max Strus going to make a bucket?
Yeah, right. This is why they went out and got him this offseason. They went out and got Max Strus and George Niang for this time of year. And Max Strus, I mean, he's in games one and two, he would get some rebounds and did some things. That's not why the Cavs didn't go out and get him to be a rebounder. Make a shot. Do something. He's running up and down the court as if he has no idea what's going on.
They didn't get him to build houses either because he's been building a ton of bricks.
Right.
And it's been pretty piss poor, if you ask me. Niang's had his struggles this series a little bit, but I'd argue at times during the regular season he's been able to, you know, granted Strus had been hurt in the last, like, you know, 8 weeks of the year and not been himself, but I'd argue Niang's had probably finished this year, regular season, stronger than Strus.
Yeah,
listen, we could place a blame on one or two different guys. The entire team just absolutely failed to show up, top to bottom. Players, coaching, JB did a horrible job preparing these guys. But you also got to give some credit there to the Magic. I am not convinced Orlando's going to do this again. Prove me wrong, Orlando. I don't think the Magic can shoot like this in a second straight game.
I am 0% concerned for game four.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, Sable. Well, one, I'm not going to be nearly as hard as on Strus as you guys were. I think what he offers is so far beyond the stat sheet. I think the maturity, the experience, like what he provides on the defensive end, so you don't have to help off his guy. He's always in the right position. Like, very rarely does he get, like, do a defensive, like, give up anything on the defense. I just think we got him to hit a shot every now and then. That's not his primary role. He's not even the third person on the team who's supposed to be doing that.
Right, but the shots when he's supposed to hit, he's not hitting them. That's the problem. I mean, he's got
to make those shots. You're right, Chase. You're exactly right. That's not his. I mean, you're not looking at him to be scoring 15, 20 a game by any stretch. And he does have that kind of Heat culture where he plays super hard. He does get rebounds, and he is a good defender. He's a determined defender, but the reason that the Cavs, you know, one of the things that they saw during the Knicks series that they couldn't do was make outside shots. So one of the things that they wanted to do was add perimeter shooting. That's all we talked about on the podcast last year. They've got to add perimeter shooting. Yeah. Well, they went and got Max Strus and George Niang, and Sam Merrill's gotten some time. Those guys got to make shots. Yeah. That's why they're there.
Strus is 2 for 14 in three games from beyond the arc.
Well, also, they're
that's unacceptable.
Max contract point guard should probably score before they do.
Yeah, go back to Sam's point. Yeah, Darius Garland, where has he been? I mean, his best game of the series was, what, game two?
Stretch in the third quarter where...
That was it. A stretch. Yeah.
Can we circle back a little bit, though? Are we sure the Celtics are going to beat the Heat again? Like you said, we're playing the Celtics in round two. They just give up a terrible home loss in game two to the Heat without Butler.
Either of those teams, even the Heat without Butler, the Cavs would struggle, I would think, against. Obviously, Boston for sure. But, Boston won their conference by 14 games. Nobody's done that since 1976. Even the Warriors, 73-9, didn't win their conference by 14 games.
Yeah, that's crazy when you put it in that perspective.
Yeah. And yet nobody, I don't know about you two, but I sure didn't go in the playoffs thinking, well, nobody's beaten Boston. I thought, yeah, they could lose in the first round.
You know, Jason Tatum is what, top 10 player in the league probably, right?
I would say, yeah.
Okay. So to your point, a top 10 player in the league, why does he not get the recognition for that or the scarcity or that being scared of opponent, like opponents or other fans be, oh, we got to face Jason Tatum. I mean, like, why does he not have that?
I don't know. There's something about he and Jaylen Brown, both outstanding players, but nobody looks at them like they do, you know, even a Luka Doncic, certainly not like a LeBron James or Steph Curry or, you know, even like a Luka Doncic or Nikola Jokic or those guys. There's just something missing where they haven't been able to take their team to another level. And they've been there, you know, now what?
Well, Jokic has.
No, I'm talking about Tatum and Brown.
Right.
Have not been able to take their teams to another level.
Well, last year there was even rumors that they were going to break them up.
They were going to trade. They were talking about trading Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant.
Right.
You remember that? Yeah. The trade deadline.
And then they re-signed Brown in the offseason.
They re-signed him to a big contract. Those guys are very good. But I think they've hit their ceiling, which is fine. It's a really high and nice ceiling. But they just haven't been able to. There's something about them that, I don't know. Do they strike fear And you know, it's like, well, they're good, they're trouble, but that's about it.
Yeah, but you know what? On the flip side, though, I'm not comparing them to the Spurs of the Duncan years. They didn't strike fear in anybody either. But you just knew that they were a well-oiled machine that could just dominate you.
Buck I know, not a well-oiled.
No, and I know we're getting off topic, Chase. But to answer your question, yeah, you're right. I mean, I just assumed it would be Boston. I still think they sneaked out and win that series. They're in Miami for Game 3, and I think Boston probably comes out on top of that. And if they don't, I still think they may win that series. But what they're proven is that they're a beatable team.
Yeah.
You know, they were
if Eric Spoelstra is your coach.
Yeah.
Well, so here's another thing, though. Like, I had to stop myself today because I was thinking, oh my gosh, if we draw the Heat in round two, like, I'm looking at Eastern Conference Finals. All of a sudden, Michael Reagan at the All-Star Live show, he's giddy as a schoolboy because he was right all along.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they were to play the Heat, they'd obviously, with the Cavs, would have home court advantage.
We'd be favored.
Yeah, without the Heat without Jimmy Butler, yeah. Yeah.
I think we'd be favored against the Heat if they had Jimmy Butler. You don't think we would?
I would not favor them in that series. Maybe you
what?
Would. The Miami Heat, who went to the finals last year?
I think it's a bad matchup with the Cavs. But if Butler is out, I think it's better, though. You think with Butler, the Cavs still match up bad with the Heat?
With Butler?
Without.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, not without Butler. Without Butler, I would favor the Cavs. Although, you'd have to consider that they just beat the Boston Celtics without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, but there's so much history there. Like, I think that's like played into this series. Like, this is the worst opponent the Celtics could have faced.
Right, right. They're lucky. They're very lucky that the Heat don't have Jimmy Butler, because I might pick the Heat in that series before the series. And then I think that'd be... trust me, if I'm the Cavs, I'd rather play Miami than Boston, even if Miami had Jimmy Butler.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about games 4 and 5 for the Cavs, see what they need to do to advance to round two, and then take a landscape look at the rest of the NBA playoffs right here on Cavs on the Break, NBA Network. We'll be right back.
What's up, everyone? I'm Holly Wetzel.
And I'm Tyrus Powell.
And we are your hosts of the Orange is Oranger, a Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network. We give you all the dog pound coverage that you'll need to get you through the regular season, hopeful postseason, and I'd say offseason, Tyvus, but is there really ever an offseason for this team?
Thankfully for our podcast, Holly, there really never is when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Don't miss our breakdown of each week's matchup, game recaps, and any and all news out of Berea to feed your Browns appetite. As we know, Holly, dogs gotta eat.
Yes, they do. So hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode of the Orange is Oranger, Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Looking for new insights on the Cleveland sports scene with a unique side of Cleveland sports history? Then you found the perfect podcast. I'm John Sable.
And I'm Scott Sable, and we're hosts of the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, a podcast about Cleveland sports, but not your typical podcast about the land's sports teams. Join us as we embark on a journey of sharing a unique and historical side of Cleveland sports history with the help of some former Cleveland sports stars and other historical figures.
All right here on the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
The R&R podcast is going to be rocking and rolling with you because football season is underway. College, Ohio State, the Power Fives, the MAC, the Browns. Michael Reagan, are you ready to rock and roll with some football?
Kenny, I've been ready. This is our time of year. This is what R&R is all about. We're going to be with you every week. Kenny just said it, Browns, NFL, Ohio State-centric. So you got to stay with us all fall and winter long here on R&R.
That's right, the Reg Eye and Rota podcast coming to you here on the Press Play Podcast Network. Subscribe now and don't miss a show.
Hey, I'm Jason.
And I'm Gary.
And we love ball cards. And if you love ball cards too, good news. You just found your new favorite podcast. From breaks to grading.
And from collecting to flipping, join us on the Ball Card Show.
The sports podcast for the sports collector.
All right, we are back. Cavs on the Break. NBA podcast. I don't know why I said Cavs on the Break NBA Network, guys. I'm really just struggling here. Thanks for sticking around. John Sable, Sam Amico, live in Sable's basement. Let me just paint you a picture of John Sable's basement. Imagine going into a local sports bar at a major sports town and seeing all this awesome memorabilia on the wall. Well, that pales in comparison to what John Sable has in this incredible, it's whatever the next step up is from a man cave. That's what John Sable has, John. It's just incredible.
Are you just saying that, Chase, because I'm in it? I'm in John Sable's man cave.
Well, no. Sam Amico just makes it even more cool.
Right. You know why? Because there's old a relics. Bunch of archaic stuff down here. And I'm among them.
Yes.
All right. So Cavs game four, game five. Game four is Saturday, April 27th, 1 p.m. in Orlando. Sam, what do the Cavs need to do to correct what this monstrosity of a game three to really go up 3-1 and look to close the series in Cleveland on Tuesday?
Well, they're the more talented team. I mean, you still have to believe that even after, you know, the Magic went hog wild in game three. And you know, you just have to, as you said, Chase, those first two games defensively, the Cavs were outstanding, and that's where you're going to win on the road. And they just need to get back to that. I certainly don't think Orlando's going to shoot like this again or have this type of rhythm again. It's really impossible to bottle that up and use it two games, but they could play, you know, Orlando's going to play hard, but you know, the Cavs just have to use this to fuel themselves. That's really what it is come out, defend like you have been, crash the boards. You've got to get, you know, you got to hope Donovan Mitchell's plays better. That'll carry you a long way. If he plays bad, like he did in game three, then it's a trouble sign. But if he plays well, you're going to have a good shot. And I think that, you know, I would, just basing off history, I would think that that would be the case. I don't know that they'll win, but I would say they would certainly play a lot better and give a lot better showing. And it has to start defensively.
John, what are you looking forward to in game four?
After game one and after game two, JB Bickerstaff said the keys to their success, and the players executed this too when I was in the locker room after, especially game one, is their offensive set. They need to push it. They need to have up pace and tempo. They need to keep that up. They need to own the glass. Well, and have a hot start. So those three things were accomplished in games one and two. They did not have a hot start tonight. They did not own the glass. The direct opposite happened. And there was no sense of pace or tempo at all in their backcourt with Mitchell and Garland. There was nothing there. Out of rhythm, out of sight, out of mind. I don't know what was going on with it. So that was exactly what they didn't want to happen, and it happened. You got to go back to the drawing board for game one and two. Like I just said, if you can do that and you have a couple guys hit some big shots or at least get going, Darius and Max Strus, and of course, like Sam just said, Donovan Mitchell. I don't think Donovan Mitchell is going to have back-to-back bad games. However, we did say that on the pod last year, this time of year, and he did have back-to-back games against the Knicks.
Yeah.
But that was before he had a good game, and he had two really good games. So I think you just got to get back what made – what made you so dominant in games one and two. And if you can, then you're going to go up 3-1. If you can't, we're going to have some problems.
I think I'll be able to tell really early in the game if that intensity is there for the Cavs,
right?
If they can match and even out intensify, if they have a tenacity and intensity, then I like the chances. But if they come out flat, if they come out getting bullied, if they come out just like looking scared of this young, inexperienced Orlando team, then I think we have very little room for error in game four.
Did you see how Donovan's body language was, but right before halftime?
That's why I said, like, this game was over in the middle of the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, the body language, everyone. But what I mean is, and Sam, I think we pointed out too.
Yeah.
He was really upset.
He slammed the Gatorade table.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
I wonder, is that because of, you know, it could be a lot of reasons. They're just losing and playing like crap. So that's obviously what he
was mad about. You didn't want to say someone. You almost said someone's name, but you didn't there.
No, I was going to swear and I caught myself. This is a family show.
That's a first.
No, wait. You said he slammed it because of, and then you didn't finish.
No, like he slammed it because, like, yeah, he was upset.
He missed a shot. He missed there a shot. The end of the half, and he was frustrated with himself at that point.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And gotcha. They weren't having any movement. No one was moving without the ball. A lot of people were standing around. I mean, he was frustrated a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Wasn't, I think, a specific person. But yeah, I mean, that my point in bringing his body language up is that he's mad. And I can only imagine what that locker room is like with Max Struth, who is so intense, and George Niang, who can be very intense as well.
Yeah.
How they're feeling right now, because there are probably some things that are said in there that aren't, that you need some tough love and you need that right now. Maybe a wake up call for him.
Yeah. I, you know who else? You know, we mentioned Struz, who hasn't hit a lot of shots. I don't think I've seen Okoro hit one like anywhere close to being a bucket in the playoffs.
He had a, you know, I mean, he, right. Look, their bench in games one and games two was not good. And of course, oh. You know, JB only used eight guys total in game two, but Niang didn't score in game two. Caris LeVert really hasn't gotten going, even though he had, what, 15 tonight in game three. Yeah. And then, you know, Okoro's the other guy. He's not going to score much, but I thought Okoro played well in games one and two. But you've got to find somebody else. And I said this before the game, they have to find somebody else other than Mitchell, and whether it be Allen or Mobley. You can't really count on Garland to score anymore. I mean, at least not to what you're used to from him. You know, Garland was supposed to be your other 20-point guy. He's scoring 5 points a game, or, you know, at least he did in game three. So they've got to find somebody else who's going to add some points, whether that's LeVert or Max Strus gets hot or something like that. They've got to find that either in this series or should they advance in the next.
Okoro's 5 of 12 from the field in the series. Granted, tonight his minutes were drastically reduced from his game two because of the blowout and everything. So yeah, but I don't expect him to be the, like in the series, to be a guy who's going to be shooting a lot. Although, you know, the
wouldn't
guy
hurt.
Wouldn't hurt to make a bucket or two. George Niang, same thing.
Yeah.
But that's everybody really. But,
yeah. Well, Sam, the playoff rotations shrink though. So eight's normal for playoffs. Like that's not a concern. Yeah. Like you have your eight. You roll. Your star is going to get 33 minutes. Like that's just part of it. That's playoff minutes. That's playoff basketball. Some starters go 41 minutes. That just happens in the playoffs. And so I'm not concerned about the shorter rotation. I am concerned about what the bench can provide.
Right. Yeah. You can, eight guys is fine, but you've got to get production out of one of them.
Yeah. Like I don't have the stat in front of me. I'm fairly certain points per game drop in the playoffs. And so I think it's a little unrealistic to expect the same amount of bench points that we had in the regular season. But you do have to have something. And Caris LeVert is probably our best bet of that, to be honest, off the bench of that, you know, points and the playmaking.
What I find fascinating is that it just kind of occurred to me. The Cavs had held Orlando to under 87 points in the first two games, 83 in game one, 86 in game two. The Cavs as themselves hadn't gotten over 100 points yet.
Yeah.
And Orlando had 121 points tonight.
Yeah.
And the Cavs had 83.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about flipping the script there.
Yeah.
It was about face in every area. And, you know, I don't think anybody saw that coming. That's for sure. And it,
like, 121 points. But the Magic have been playing physical, though. Like, it's not like they haven't made it easy. Like, they've challenged shots for the most part in the first couple games and really matched that up. They finally had some shots hit this game, and we lost by, we lost by 97 points. What was the total? How many did we lose by?
Felt like 97.
84?
38.
Well, all right. This is, that does it for this episode of Cavs on the Break NBA podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. We're going to be back with you after our games 4 and 5 here. A little playoff press provides some a little more frequently here. Shouts to Newark Auto Body Shop for sponsoring us for this playoff press. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Cavs on the Break. We always follow back. Follow Sam on Twitter at Amico Hoops. Get all of his works and writings at hoopswire.com and at Wire Hoops. Also, make sure to follow John Sable at John_Sable and follow him with the Sable Brothers on the baseline. Just had an episode with Ricky Davis. Good job. Good job. Fellas, who gets the Junkyard Dog Award for this episode?
You do, Chase.
You powered through your sickness. Everybody should be more like you and power through.
Oh, that is not true. Well,
you win.
Begrudgingly accept. But I appreciate the appreciation. I wish I could be there with you guys. I really do.
Well, we can plan something here. If the Cavs keep winning, we can make it work.
We can try to make it work. All right. Well, John Breen, guys,
I look forward to meeting John Breen someday.
John Breen. Mike Breen, take us out.
Congratulations, Cleveland. Your decades-long wait is finally over. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.